Okay, let's move on. Okay, we're through with the caretaker report, and now we're into old business. Item number one is for Dale Clarkson to make a presentation and discussion of proposals made at the last meeting, and he has a PowerPoint presentation for us. Dale, you have the floor.
Okay. And then we need to leave. We're flying back to Washington, D.C. this afternoon, so if we could be excused, and you guys can visit on these things and see what... I don't know if you want to change your chair arrangement.
We can stand or...
slip over here.
Okay.
Make it too dark. John will fall asleep.
That's right.
I'm kicking him.
I'm ready to go now.
Under the table.
Somebody's got to keep me awake.
Yeah, I can snore pretty good, too, by the way.
I've heard.
Vance, we might be able to post this on the internet too, as far as the PowerPoint presentation, if possible.
Right? Yeah, do that. Email it to me, somebody.
Yeah, we have the ZipDex disk that we can. Yeah, that'd be great.
Dan, you may need.
He stepped out for a second.
There it is.
We need to lower the
wires.
Perfect.
Did you dim the
light? Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. Dim the
light. Yeah.
Perfect. Good.
Did you see that?
Perfect. Oh, yeah, leave it off.
There you go. Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. I like that. All
right. last month we presented four little propositions, and we'll look at them. But the big thing that we've put together here is some ideas. Is for the board to chew them up, change them, modify them, make them bigger, make them smaller. So because these ideas, some have asked me for years, what do we think would be a good plan? What should we do? And so we took time to put some of these things on here. And by the way, in addition to the PowerPoint, all those things are in these books that each one of you will be given, each board member. And so you can follow through and see and discuss them the next week or two or whatever you may need. So I think with the things we've talked about, whether it's on cattle, whether it's on fences, and there's certainly a need for a lot of different changes at Deer Springs. And I think the other thing that we're talking about is we need more workers up there. Paul and Nancy may be miracle workers, but I don't think we've covered 10% of what should have been done this last year. And that's certainly no criticism of them. But you as a board of directors, I think you've got to get real and see what's needed and then go ahead and make plans accordingly. So, presentation to the Board of Directors, Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, as of today. Here's a report on the four propositions approved during the other meeting. And on the reseeding project was number one. We talked about the water rights, which has some interesting things. We talked about perhaps having the cattle sold by now and moved off the ranch. We talked about the plan to increase the assets and the capital of the corporation. Things aren't going to fall out of the sky. We've got to make it happen in some way. And so on those items, the Johnson family, Brent, Alan Steed is not really involved, I don't think, at all. But the Johnson family moved in with $150,000 worth of beautiful equipment, and pictures are on the table back there. But they took the brush off the well field, double disc, and planted it, 106 acres. We talked about hopefully the weather will hold so they can do 400 or 500 acres. 100 acres is complete now. We're trying to identify water sources and how it was irrigated years ago and what we can do to reestablish that. They have completed the well field. They also took the brush off of Broad Hollow yesterday. They've taken some of the brush off the landing strip field. Oops, I put the wrong button. Yeah. And that's the first time up.
You need to recognize that this is the first time he's ever done anything off a computer. So give him credit.
Yeah, that's good.
So Ed kind of put this together, and his wife and Pat's trying to teach me how to do it. And all I want to do is go to the ranch and look at the tree.
Every day.
The fields look great, and you can see them in some of those photos over there. We built a road into Broad Hollow so they can get their equipment in and out there. Their equipment is down at the field where the windmill is, north of the Half Moon Reservoir. So those things are moving along very nicely. Airstrip, so we're moving. Protection of water rights. I have here a list, if any of you want to look, at the 50 water rights at the ranch. And going down through them, auditing them carefully this last month, I find our best water right is not there.
Yeah.
Our best water right on the ranch is not there. It's not in the database of the state engineer's office. And so that really scared me. I do have happen, however, to have, we'll find it, don't know where, but here's the file, and all the correspondence and the judge, the court's amended filings, and so we've got it.
The documentation.
But it's got to be found and put in. The state engineer said maybe some secretary missed it or something, but it's things like that that's invaluable to the ranch that I don't think any person alive knows that except me when we got that particular water right. This is all the water right that comes out of the wet meadow.
Mm, big time.
137 acre feet of water. Mm. And apparently the previous owner said, oh, don't worry about it. It sub-irrigates, and there's nothing we can do about it anyway. I said, hey, we want a water right on it so we can control it and do with it what we want. And so it's our best, biggest water right there on that. Here also, and I won't go into a lot of detail, here's all the water maps that covers the entire ranch. And there's a book I didn't bring. But there's a ton of information on very valuable water rights that we need to really check on. So we've been reviewing the existing water rights, finding the rights and claims of area property owners, arranging for the development and repair of the system. We've spent $15,000 on this last month. Research of water claims with the state engineer, and that's where we found out that they did not have. Vance Green sent us a list, which we had already, but in auditing it, it's when I discovered this one missing water right. This picture, by the way, is the part of the Pollywog Pond improvements, and I think we've stopped the erosion down through there. Will make some big differences in it. Determine the water rights of the property owners. Darrow Johnson filed some claims that were advertised in the Southern Utah News this last summer, and nobody caught it. I wasn't here. For 30 years, I've read every newspaper because of this water right thing. It's usually published four weeks at a time. And it's critical to know when to protest and when not to protest on the water rights. This is the Southern Utah News item. Collect data on all DSR water rights. I still haven't found water rights changes that have been done in the last 10 years. Larry, I know, worked on some of them. Where's the filings? Where's the water rights? Where's the file documentation? That's why, John, I've just been super anxious to get our files and stuff all in one place. It's not adequate that it's in somebody's basement or it's in somebody's cargo container.
You get lost if we don't keep track of it.
We've got to have them in a reliable place. Okay, review the original claims and follow through on it. Board vote to liquidate the cattle, and you've kind of had a report on what has happened there. Some of them are in. They have been collected. How are they going to be shipped? What's the market value? To be in the cattle business and know this was coming up and not be ready for it is, I think, something we've got to cure. We've tried buying and selling cattle for members, and it just doesn't work. So do whatever you want to, but I know where we've been in the past. There are terms of payment, deadline for removing cattle.
Can I stop you right there before I forget? I'm getting old enough. I've got to start doing
One thing that keeps coming over and over, and
again, I have a high interest in the cattle operation and rebuilding that to be what it should be. Does anybody have
the last copy of Brent Robinson's lease? I don't know what we've
been doing. If I could get a copy of that,
I'd really like to know just what we've been doing.
You have one here recently?
Well, I might have one.
To compare with,
I think there was three or four.
To compare with leases we were doing 10 years ago.
Okay, there's one available, one around.
I'll scan it and I'll email it.
Okay, great.
Okay. Plan to increase the assets and capital. Current role of the board of directors.
Is that our sunken?
Is that our sunken ship?
Yeah.
What?
That's our sunken ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Been that way for a while.
Kids could get their feet wet when they go off the diving board. okay. Your responsibilities to provide for the maintenance, repair, and alteration of the ranch roadway systems. What a big load. Provide for the maintenance of gates and fences on or within the boundaries of the association property. There isn't hardly a fence up there and a gate that works. And if we're in the cattle business, that I think has priority over some of the other things that we're spending time on up there. We've got to maintain those fences and before we hold the cattle in and some cattle out. To provide for the maintenance of the association springs, wells, buildings, corrals, existing improvements. You as board of directors, I don't know if you know every spring, if you know every building. Where are we on the wells? What do the wells log look like? What's the equipment in them? And how do we move forward on our water systems? Provide future improvements. Pay real estate taxes? Do we have insurance on everything? I understand some of the insurances that we used to have now been dropped. Mm-hmm. Your responsibility is to safeguard the assets of the property. Limit? $30,000. Is the board comfortable with their ability to perform these tasks on a daily and monthly basis? And they have to be done that. Everybody's busy. The board can't meet weekly or daily on some of these items. And yet the ongoing responsibilities of the ranch are there. And I know many times you'd like to say, well, Paul will take care of it, Nancy takes care of it. And if not, well, Linda will take care of it. And there's too much of a responsibility there to be handled. Could there be another option? And there have been some other options suggested to some of you, and we need to look at them. Future topics that can be addressed by Clarkson Properties, which was the old Utah Properties, the developer of the ranch, for review of the board and the members, prepare a budget and plan to increase the assets, plan and budget to update the cabins. We're talking some about that. Review and protect water rights. Plan to renovate the buildings, the barn, the blacksmith shop, the scales, the loading chute. Everything is in poor shape. Recommend on things on the road plan. How about the energy plans? We talked a lot about solar from the ranch house. There's a lot of other energy requirements up there. Develop water systems. Lots, little, private, group. Options to generate revenue. We could recommend plan for future improvements. Recommend bylaw revisions. Recommend update and revisions of rules. Can you bring two-headed cattle? And if you do, what do you do with them? And how do you do with them? There's a whole, our bylaws and our rules and regulations and our protective covenants. We've talked about revising them for 15 years. I think it's time that these be done in the next 12 months. Clarify some of these things so that our members can be honest and follow the rules and know what they're doing. Is prepared to provide the board with the following proposals. The integrity of Deer Springs Ranch as a multi-million-dollar property requires leadership and a well-defined financial plan and implementation strategies. On the water rights, we've got to organize the water right ownership files and documentation, acquire, protect, and manage water rights. I think there are other water rights we can acquire, develop, and maintain the wells, pipelines, the ponds, and ditches. You know, it's one thing. The pioneers went in with horse and scraper and built miles of ditches up there on grade. They flow. We're too lazy to clean them. These have got to be changed. The pioneers went in and cleared those fields and took trees and stumps and rocks and everything off. All we got to do now is disc them and take care of them. So there's a lot of things that we should be grateful for that's happened on this property by years and years and years of sweat and tears that now we need to move forward. I think on the water rights and these things that we're looking at, that there's going to be nearly $50,000 to $75,000 to bring them up to where they should be. Agricultural activities and production, we could conduct research leading to the coordination and implementation of a complete management plan for agricultural projects. And the cost of that would be approximately $10,000. Livestock activities, research and develop goals and comprehensive management plan that is specific for cattle, horses, corrals, fences, and the pastures. Each one of those is going to take money and a lot of time that we can't ask Paul and Nancy to do these all these items. Improve, manage, maintain roads, rights of way. People are up there violating rights of way right now. The road signage we've had printed for years and haven't got them installed. Collaborate on road management plans with government agencies and neighbors. Recreation and other activities. Research and develop comprehensive management plan to increase activities on the ranch. Coordinate and supervise the activities. Those things all cost money. Cabins and buildings, design, construct, make improvements, coordinate maintenance, furnishings of the cabins. I think the furnishings and most of the cabins need to be redone. I don't know how many offended when you say, does somebody have an old couch that they'll donate to the ranch? Other things, I think we need to stand on our own 2 feet and get equipment, getting furnishings, getting the cabins updated. And I think we've used all the band-aids that we could for years and years and years, and now I think we've got to. I have the cabin use schedule here, if any of you want to look at it, that Linda provided me from the last 2 years. And our cabins are used probably less than 20%. And so we have some good assets that are sitting there vacant because we haven't got the thing organized and improved so that they're acceptable.
Yep. One comment I want to make
now, because it was
talked about last meeting. There's been discussion on the internet and stuff. I'm
really puzzled.
I went and looked at my records. We've kind of talked about cabin four is the one that's needing work, has some dire needs.
We took it off the system so that we could make those.
Well, but that's, we took it off last year.
Right.
And we wasted all summer.
And we still haven't made any progress. But Linda's analysis was it was the lowest used. When I was president of the association, number four cabin was by far
out substantially the number one used and requested cabin you could never get into.
And it just baffles me. It's
got to come down to the condition
of the cabin and some of those things,
because it's the only one that kind of had the loft for couples with no kids or young kids. I mean, it
was
the highest
requested cabin. Now to go to our least, the cabin didn't move its location.
No. I have. Well,
number one is our most.
We got further item. We can discuss that
on. And whistle if you want to stop on any of this. Also, you have this book,
right?
So you guys can talk about it, make notes on it, or whatever.
Right.
So we're not losing it by giving you kind of an overview of what we've got here. Then you can come back. But I certainly agree that to take a cabin off service for a year, do nothing on it.
Well, there was a septic problem there, and we finally got it resolved. And that was the main thing that we pulled it out for.
For an expensive piece of equipment to sit there in the yard for 4 months, that's wrong. I mean, in today's economy, you just can't operate that way. Governmental documents, research, state requirements, and legal ramifications of bylaws, rules, and protective covenants. Draft and recommend changes and updates for consideration of DSR Board of Directors and members. This is something that has to be voted on, and I think we need to get on with it, try to get it done, and maybe voted on at the early part of the season so people know what to do in 2009. We've talked about master plans. Research and create a published master plan for development, maintenance, operation of Deer Springs Ranch. Submit master plan suggestions for consideration of the board of directors and members. Propose schedule for capital improvements and suggestions for funding options. These funding items that I put on here are mainly just for maintenance and get us started on this. The master plan and the capital improvements are not included in these figures. Detailed proposal to be formally prepared for the Deer Springs Owners Association Board of Directors. Possibility, my wife kills me on this, but she's still hanging in there. We will perform the following. Prepare and present detailed plans to the membership with expectation of consensus approval by the Board of Directors to proceed as outlined, unless opposed in writing by 51% of the Deer Springs Ranch Owners membership. Fund the operating costs for the project as proposed and provide supervisory and management tasks for general maintenance and operation, office staff, ranch employees, consultants, and independent contractors. By the way, there's some other members that see the same thing that all of you see and have offered to help fund these improvements. So if we have good people who can help fund these probably on some kind of a loan basis that does not impact the $30,000 limit that the bylaws impose, and get the job done. I think other members would take a lot more interest in the ranch if they had a $20,000 investment in what's going on up there. Or this could be deferred to DSROA for completion of tasks and responsibilities within existing DSROA budget.
Do I get to interject yet?
If you did, want luck to, yeah.
Okay. How much further are you, Dale?
Two more slides.
Okay.
How do we proceed? Does DSROA agree that this plan will enhance the ownership at Deer Springs Ranch? There may be things on here that's offensive. Maybe they're not. Go through them, chew them apart, and say, stupid, why did you put this in there? Why didn't you add more? Why didn't you increase it? Why didn't you cut it in half? But in general, my gut feel is every member would see this as a way of enhancing their ownership. Will the proposed plan create a positive win-win situation for Deer Springs Ranch? Clarkson Properties, Inc., or whoever, needs board authorization to cover the costs. So if we go to Joe Blow over in Los Angeles or whatever, our members, and they say, oh, sure, I like the idea, I'll help fund it, we need to have authorization to take, if the cabins raise $20,000 or whatever kind of money-generating things we can come up with, the board needs to know that those things are to be handled in a professional manner and not say, oh, hey, those are our cabins, that's our money, and you're not going to be able to cover any of the costs. So this needs to be worked out carefully so that the costs can be covered according to a plan. This project requires collaboration and communication of the Board of Directors and Clarkson Properties, Inc. to make adjustments and suggestions to the proposed plan in order to create a win-win situation for members, owners, and the management. Clarkson Properties, Inc. is looking for official authorization from the board to move forward with this project as proposed or modified. Clarkson Properties will present a contract and budget proposal for the consideration at the Deer Springs at the December 2008 Board of Directors meeting. And depending on what you do with this and how you chew it, this would then play a part of the budget plan for 2009. Some of the ways, recommended potential revenue sources, and this isn't all of them by any means, but possibly an outside concession manager to do the horseback riding operations on a financially sound basis, to do ATV rentals. Some have talked about guided hiking trips. Some have talked about coordination of hosting family reunions. Some would be to coordinate and hosting of youth camps, hosting seminars, on-site dining options to be managed by DSROA, improving the cabins for members, to rent unused cabin space to non-members, to consider a lodge and a meeting space. Been talked about for years. Nothing's been done on it. Develop a recreation program. We have had it sometimes. It's not much up there right today. Develop some kind of an equipment checkout program if we want to. and maybe have some RV spaces for overflow when the family reunion is there, or some of our help that may be needed. By the way, these Johnson boys who are driving the tractors and doing this thing are staying in the garden cabin. And bless her heart, Nancy's been feeding them one or two meals a day. That's the kind of click and cooperation made all the difference in the world. Three meals a day, she said. I was so pleased when Nancy told me that she was willing to do that. And not only willing, she did it voluntarily without anybody talking with her about it. So there are different ways that we can all work to make this thing come together. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Well, thank you, Dale. I appreciate that.
These booklets are available. You may want them to hand out now or later in your meeting, depending on what. Tell me, sir.
Can you get one to Dave's?
Yeah.
There. Okay. I won't pass these out right now.
Yeah, and if we can get a copy of the file,
we'll get the
media vamp or post that.
Did you have that on a zip external hard drive disk?
Okay. Yes.
You want to leave that with somebody that can try to.
Your manager should have.
I can get that sent over to Vance.
By the way, there's a lot of these things here. I met yesterday with a Dan Perkins of the Department of Agriculture, and here are soils maps. They've probably spent $10,000 doing this for us. Dan said he called for permission to come on the ranch and do this and was told no, that he couldn't do it. Some other member said, you go ahead and do it. And we've got to get more positive on the things that we're doing, the things that other agencies are willing to help us on. I think the Forest Service, the BLM, the county, the Department of Agriculture. I'm going to meet next December the 10th with Christy Hatch, who handles fundings for erosion and tree planting and reseeding and all these things. And so we'll meet with her and digest this in. But there's a world of information that we've used over the years that can be a great help to Deer Springs Ranch, depending on what you as a board decide to do. We'll leave these pictures over here. Well, we can stay another little while, Pat. So I turn the time back to you. Appreciate the time for this. We have had this equipment up there. It's working great. And I hope that they can get 400 or 500 acres planted.
It looks really good. I've looked at the photographs, and Paul sent me some photographs online through email. It looks like what they're doing is really making some difference. And as far as the work on the polywog ponds, it looks great. I'm going to go out there again today just to look at things personally. I think that's the best way to get a feel for things, is to go out there and walk and talk, you know, and see how things are going. And so I'm going to get out there today, and I appreciate, Dale, I appreciate what you've proposed. And we're going to pass these out later in the meeting, and I think there's a lot of information. I think we're going to need to digest it.
Oh, yeah.
And to talk about it. But I don't want to do it as part of this meeting right now, if that's okay with the rest of the board, and that we're going to, you know, at least by email and by phone, we may end up having an executive meeting, but, you know, we will definitely have an answer by next month. I think we should be able to.
So I'm not sure. So we just...
So we
you don't think we can look at it today, or we don't have time to
do that? I don't think we have time to do that today. We have other a lot of other stuff. Well, let's see how we get through the other items.
We don't want to discuss this today, and I think this is a lot of stuff we do need to discuss. We need to set a date today for a conference call.
Make some meetings. We've got to make motions or we don't do anything.
Well, yeah. Together, it would be much easier to look at this thing.
Trying to do it on
if you're going to have, if you're going to have a December meeting, I need to have 30 days to prepare what it is, and then that for your assessments next year and all the different things. The season is fast getting away from us, and we haven't even scratched the surface.
Yeah, we got work to do. Okay.
Okay. We'll look at, we're definitely going to need to get together as board on this and discuss it. You know.
Oh, we're here.
When?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Oh, I don't know if
for a conference,
you know, I haven't had a chance
to
look at
it.
I don't think I'm going to get into it right now today because I don't have, you know, I need to look at this and
okay, well, let's talk about it. So what else do you need to do?
Okay, well, we have the agenda, okay?
Thank
that's
you.
What we're working on right now. And we're getting the any updates on the school? Well, we have some information from last meeting from Scootapaw Road situation. Ben was helpful in talking to county.
BLM in the county.
I think, you know, I sent that email, and then Vance put it in the newsletter that kind of wraps up where we're at. So until there's further news on that, I'm not sure that there's a lot of anything that we can do. I don't know. Does anybody know what happened to the sign that was at the end of the pavement saying closed road?
Yeah,
it's really not.
I don't think it's on the other end either.
It's not our issue, but I still think that we had even talked about, you know, if we get people out there Europeans crossing through there and snowed in or something. It's I'm not sure that it's anything that we have liability, but we're all going to feel bad, and it's going to take time out of the ranch manager's time when somebody hikes into the ranch house at midnight, stuck out in Lake Wash,
and those kind of things. And so
they hike in there and stuff because those GPS systems send it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It. I don't know.
Is it possible? As you come onto the ranch, you turn right to go down the driveway to the ranch headquarters. Is it possible to stick a sign there saying road closed further ahead?
What I had talked to the county commissioner had mentioned, and I obviously haven't followed through when I went out Monday, but I really think where it was right there at the end of the pavement. Again, I'm critical of Deer Springs owners because the three times I went by it, the sign was vandalized.
Right.
It was covered up. And I know some of the people that did it were Deer Springs members. I mean, that needs to be left alone. We have this, it really irritates me, we have this mentality, hey,
nobody loves
the government less than I do. But at the same
time, for our tax dollars to go in and build a kiosk there, and then our
great upstanding citizens
have burned it to the ground, or we put a sign in there,
it gets vandalized, just immaturity. For other people's safety who don't understand what's ahead, I think that sign should say,
you know, road closed.
Travel at your own risk. Landowners that are
familiar with the area
can gauge and understand
right.
that. But the more we can
deter from that, the better, especially going into winter.
Maybe we need to check with Kane County and see if they removed the sign.
No, people have run over it.
They had covered it up,
and then it had gotten run over. And so, yeah,
sooner or later, for safety hazard, they said, well, we're not going to put money into it again. Look what happened last time.
Let's put another sign back out.
Yeah.
People are still mad about the grand staircase.
One thing I would recommend, when I was still a travel director, I had contacted the state and the BLM about contacting the GPS company to designate that is a dirt road, because a lot of them think that it's a paved road, and it's coming up on the GPS system. Part of it, and I don't work for the county, I've talked to the county about it too, part of it is that the county is claiming those as RS-247 stuff. They're putting those as recognized roads. The GPS sees those as recognized roads and assumes that they're paved. So I would suggest that maybe you collectively as a board write a letter to the state and to the county and to the BLM, just reinforcing to contact those GPS companies to contact them about that as a dirt road or could be impassable at certain kind of adhesive and high clearance kind of things, because the GPS can identify that. But right now, most of those GPS systems are just identifying that as the same as a highway or state highway.
Yeah, that's we could do that. We could contact those.
And I can give you the contact people, because the state's aware of it, and the BLM is aware of it, and the county is too. And just kind of reinforce that, but hey, let's push it a little bit so that by next season, the GPS.
I'll look back into if they're making progress on it, and I think it just needs to be, especially going into winter, reposted.
Oh, and if those companies knew that they're sending people out here in a very sketchy situation where it's, you know, it's hazardous, and we know they're, you know, we know how dangerous this road can be on a good day, you know.
Well, the governor's office has a vested interest in it, too, as does the Office of Tourism. So those could be some of the spearhead that, along with Larry Crutchfield from BLM, because he's talked to the state BLM office about it.
Okay, thank you.
Can I make a motion?
Yes.
I would like to make a motion that Ben Clarkson look into this and get those numbers and see about of getting into the GPS and contacting the county about those signs.
Okay. I'll second that motion.
All those
in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Thank you. Good. Okay. So yeah, there's, and as far as the newsletter gone out and let the membership know that there's people that they can contact, it's also, you know, another way of, you know, putting some more pressure on the county, the BLM, the state, as far as getting the road maintained as soon as possible and just keeping the pressure on them. I think that's important that we stay on top of that.
Ben, they did agree to do some work in
snow removal, yeah.
In emergency situation. So I think the important thing on that is if Paul or Brent Fulmer that's up there and some, you know, if it snows to the point that your safety or other people's going to, then we need to just call the sheriff's department, because he said that it would be authorized by the county commission or the sheriff would be the ones to make the determination.
My kid can't get to school.
You'll call.
An emergency.
Yeah.
Yep, you call.
I'll call every day.
They're going to see that number dialed. And then just being ranting negative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, squeaky wheel. Okay, thank you on that report from Scoopaw Road. Fire protection plan is still ongoing, and as you mentioned in your report that you're you know, getting firewood, and so this part of the plan is to, you know, collect that wood from around those cabins and you know, crib it, whatever you got to do to so it seasons out for next year. But that's part of our fire protection plan is to do that hazard reduction from around the cabins. That's also wood to be used for the cabins, okay. And we're still tweaking that fire protection plan. I will get out some standards, what we expect of property owners that have property, that have cabins out there, and what we're doing as far as the roads for access and egress. I will get those standards out, and I will have them ready for the next meeting, okay. And so that will be published. We'll have it on the website. And people will know what's being asked. And obviously, you don't have to do it all at once. It's, you know, prohibitive. We don't have the resources. But we have a plan to work towards, and that will suffice as far as our fire protection plan and mitigation efforts. The road plan is ongoing, and this presentation also ties in with what Dale proposed. So we'll look into that also. It's been something that Paul's identified areas where we need road work and so forth, and that's still ongoing. The 40,000-gallon water tank restoration, we're still trying to find a contractor. We're going to get another bid, and we'll see, you know, what we can do as far as we need at least two bids, you know, preferably three. But
who's going to do that?
I will look into that. No, I will look. Well, I'll work with you. And as far as you got that one contact, right? And I'll just look in St. George and find out who does tanks and get on the websites.
You got the one from Vance, that stuff, too, that you guys have already worked on.
We have that information as far as that material that we have.
We're redoing the whole tank.
Right, I know, inside and out.
What we're going to do with the material that we have, that material that we have is not going to cover a whole lot of ground.
No, I know. We'd have to order quite a bit more.
What happens if the original people that worked on it caught them?
That's not... Richard Cotham?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Okay.
How expensive is that?
We don't have any written warranty from him.
We don't have anything to cover the work that he did originally?
Right.
Okay.
And he said that he'd come out and look at it, and he hasn't, and...
Just skip it and go on.
We just need to move on. But we'll limp along for right now, as we have for the past 3 years. John, you have... John Harris?
Yeah, I just asked, and he told me it's $175 a gallon, and I don't know what the coverage is on that. But, you know, if you're looking at a repair and buying more of that, and this is just a patch, you need to compare that against what it's going to cost to do.
Whole thing.
Well, we have to do the whole thing. We need to, like, bead blast it, as it's probably recommended. It does sound that that's probably a more recommended way of doing it. And also doing the outside of the tank, and you know,
how far does a gallon go?
Well, he was saying $175 a gallon with the activator, which the activator is another gallon, so it actually makes 2 gallons.
John, want to help him get that bid together?
$175 for two gallons.
So what's the coverage?
I don't know.
Vance?
Yeah, hang on a minute. Are you talking about the stuff we have, or the stuff that Greg Burke's going to use?
We're talking about the stuff we have right now.
All right. Talk about something else for a minute while I look it up.
Okay, thanks, Vance. Okay, moving along.
I think the main thing is to get work on this bid the next week. Vance is going to be up here where Paul and Vance can look at it on site. If we can get another bid this next week, try to solve and get a decision, you know, while Vance is here. He's put a lot of time into that.
That's right, and we just need to get whoever's going to do it on the committee so we don't all do that. So it needs to be like... John, and maybe John Harris wants to help you do that. And then Paul and you guys get it together, maybe, with that, and help get those bids.
Yeah, we'll work together. We can email each other, and we can phone each other up. And
make a motion, maybe.
I'll make a motion.
I don't know.
I think we have time. This isn't.
I don't think we need a motion on this.
You're looking at springtime, so I think we have some time to get the best bang for our buck.
John Harris, John Southwick, and Paul.
Right.
So of record, then John Harris, John Southwick, and Paul are going to work on the water tank. Is that what I'm writing down?
Right, for the bids.
Of record, not a motion.
Because we got 40,000 square feet. I'm just trying to, 40 gallon.
40,000 gallon tank.
I don't know how many square feet is
that. Paul, can you measure that tank for me? I need to know the circumference and the length.
13 by 42.
Thank you, man.
It's all, John, I've emailed everybody repeatedly with all these dimensions and all these calculations. You should still have it unless you got crazy with your delete key.
No, I haven't. I'll have to go back on that. Okay.
Yeah, and just still trying to find the coverage. There's about 1,000 emails involving this tank that I have to wade through
now. I know. On next subject, newsletter, I want to say thanks to Vance Green and Linda for getting that. For Vance putting it together and for Linda for mailing it out.
Very good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
That was very good. And lawsuit update.
Lawsuit update. Lots of information.
What's happening with the lawsuit is that the latest communication from the lawyer for the insurance company. He has made his defendant initial disclosures to Ole Rausch and the law firm that's providing his defense or his suit. And it lists initial disclosures, who was Utah Rules of Civil Procedures, and so forth. List who the defendant's initial disclosures are, and it goes as defendant Deer Springs Ranch Owners Association, by and through its counsel, makes the following initial disclosures, according to Utah law. The name of, if known, and address telephone numbers of each individual likely to discoverable information supporting defendant's claims or defenses, unless solely for impeachment. His subjects and information are as follows. Number one, John Southwick, okay, as represented by Smith and Glauser. Number two, Ole Lindgren, care of Smith and Glauser. Number three, Mike Duvall. Number four, Kathy Duvall. Number five, Larry Clarkson. Number six, Ole Rausch and plaintiff's counsel. Number seven, family members of plaintiff and members of plaintiff's traveling party. Number eight, Christy Shields. I'm not sure the address, unknown. And number nine, plaintiff's health care provider's address and phone numbers. And number 10, other guests and persons present at Deer Springs Ranch, address and phone numbers. Number 11, representatives of the United States Bureau of Land Management. Number 12, other individuals familiar with the subject animal, address and phone number. Subjects of information may include information relating to liability issues. That's part A. Part B was a copy of the description of category and location of discoverable documents, data compilations, tangible items, tangible things, and possessions, custody of control parties. So for pictures of Deer Springs Ranch, maps of Deer Springs Ranch, defendants, obviously documents in defendants' possession, discoverable documents, part C, the computation of any category of damages claimed by the disclosing party, goes on, and B, insurance agreements. Anyway, I got this letter. I was really taken back when my name was listed first.
First. You're the president.
So.
All right. You have to pay him.
Anyway, that's where we stand right now, okay? So, obviously, they're presenting the insurance company's lawyers is presenting a case or building a case that if they have to go to court, obviously they're going to need to disclose information, and they're going to need to get this information. So they had to present this to his attorneys, and so that's where we're at right now. So they're going to continue to present the case as if it's going to trial, and what they would want to do, speaking with Rick Lauser, he says that he'll, if they do go to trial, it will be here in King County. I'm just waiting to hear more information back. I don't have a whole lot more. Obviously, their lawyers are probably going to want to contact me and those others that are listed for information. So it's still in the process, and whether it goes to court or whether they settle out of court, I don't know. But it's still in the works. Okay. Vance, did you find
that? Yeah, it's 300 square foot per gallon when applied to steel, aluminum, cast iron, fiberglass, and most non-porous materials.
300 square foot per gallon, and the square footage total is?
Oh, I'm going to have to go back and find it. I'm going to email you all that rather than tie if you're meeting with it.
I had
calculated out what it would take, and the biggest problem was I couldn't figure out from various information I've got what exactly you all already have.
Okay.
So I'll just re-email all that stuff to you.
I only have 5 gallons of that one paint. That's it. It's just a 5-gallon container. It's in my garage. It's not freezing.
Right. Well, I'm going to revisit the last stuff I sent to you where I thought I had all that information already, and I'll just send it to all of you again. It's a lot easier to digest in print than it is for me to try to talk to you about it right now.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Thank you. Well, we look forward to some additional information on that then. And like I said, John Harris, myself, and Paul are going to work on getting additional bids and, whatever requirements we might have.
Whoever talks to Greg Burke, I'd be interested to know what he intends to use and why he thinks what we're using is a bad choice.
Okay, we'll get that. that was his recommendation by what he does, but we'll find out. And more information as far as why he doesn't like the product that we...
Well, no, it may not be that. It may be that he determined that the reason that the tank coating failed in the first place was misapplication and that the epoxy will be fine if it's done properly. Well, that's fine. I'll go with that.
Okay. Okay, well, that gives us some direction, and I'll get back with you on that. Okay, any questions about that lawsuit?
Well, one thing, John.
Yes.
If you guys are going to start doing budget planning, this lawsuit is definitely going to affect our insurance premium.
It already is.
I mean, somebody needs to ask them how much this is going to cause it to go up, point blank.
Yeah, I don't know if they're, I don't know. Well, we can ask them if some insurance and
check on
we can check on that. We'll check on that.
Do you want me to check on that?
Linda, yeah, you have their numbers, right?
I do. I've been in contact with the insurance
company. Okay.
Well, we need to work on
check on that. Let me know. All right. As far as new business, so we got two items that I have. If someone else has something else. I just got one thing with ATV tour groups. There has been... a tour group, a local tour group that's been running through our ranch. And as far as I know, as far as members, from what I understand, I could be mistaken. Don't we have to sign a liability waiver to, you know, to ride ATVs on our ranch as members?
For insurance, we do.
For insurance purposes?
If there's ATV tour groups on the ranch, we just need to call the sheriff and have them run off.
I don't know. I don't know that we need to do that.
What's that going
to
do?
I don't think we need that.
We got to outgrow this
shallow mentality that we're going to run everybody off and the ranch is going to turn into
the pigsty that it
is now. We've got to maintain it.
Well,
money, absolutely.
Well, they called me and I talked to them.
These guys would
well,
be
well, we do one or the other, right? You either say, because if you don't do anything, what that opens it up for is they just come. And so you got to do one or the other. You either get money or you tell them go away.
Well,
if you don't do
the
that.
The reason I bring this up is that we have liability issues,
right.
Okay? And if we're having to waive our liability rights as members, you know, I find...
an accident, they sue us. So
well, and we're in the middle of this one suit already, and I'm looking at, you know... I don't,
but however, we're in this lawsuit because of
right.
mismanagement.
Right, right. And we're okay. We're on the right track. We just, you know, if people are doing things and we're not advised, you know, and we don't have waivers from them or we don't have any kind of, they're using our roads, you know, that's, we're maintaining those roads and they're not paying for any cost to maintain those roads. So this is why I bring it up. So
you're exactly right. Now, here comes back in Dell's plan, okay? And this is why I wanted to interrupt, but we have to come back to this. And the reason is because of that very fact. Who's going to be on top of all these things all the time? Our board changes. Every time we change, we have all these things and nobody follows through. So the plan is only makes sense. Now tell me one person on our board, one person on our whole membership that wants to raise the dues. Not one person. Dave Sills. You can't move a nickel. Is that correct?
No, okay. It was a penny.
A penny. Oh, excuse me. A penny. Anyway, and if we can't move it a penny, and how are we going to keep this ranch running? We already know that we're in the hole, okay? We already know that it's going downhill. When we put those cabins in how many years ago? 20, 30 years ago? Okay? Those things have not really been rebuilt up or anything else since that time. That was a big investment, and it didn't come out of any of our pockets. Really, okay? You bought into a program. We all bought into a program that was a great thing, okay? We did. When you bought your property, you got a piece of property that was 20 acres. You got a good deal on that 20 acres. You wouldn't have bought it, okay? With that, you also received a membership to 2,000 extra acres. Those improvements were done, and you got a share. We pay a very minimal... It is a very minimal, I have timeshares, and you have to pay these timeshares. It's a lot more than what we pay out at Deer Springs Ranch.
You're preaching
nobody
to the
wants
choir right here.
I know.
You know?
Exactly, but I'm reiterating what our story is, okay? If if Dell proposes to bring in investors or whatever, and we can build up our asset to become better, or we can use it for, and they make some money, okay? Who? Why do we care if we get part of it? We're still a part of that. It doesn't, our assets don't diminish. They only increase. It's a win-win thing. Our membership dues don't increase, okay? But we have that ability. We have a nicer facilities. We have all, I can't see how people can look a gift horse in the mouth. So how can we say, okay, don't do it? No, we want to.
We haven't had the opportunity to look at it yet, so in depth and in detail. Okay, I agree with you. We need to make changes. I've been talking about this for months and a year about the improvements that we need to make.
But we haven't done it.
Why? Well, we have been making improvements. I can't say that the status of this ranch where it was 10 months ago. We have made improvements. We're not to the point where
we have a limited budget.
But right. Working with our budget, we can only do so much. And that's why we have a plan.
We're talking about other revenue streams from other teams.
That's fine, and I'm okay with
that. The problem
other
is that it's not up to us to make that kind of decision. Do we want to make those changes? It's been up to the membership, and the membership historically has said no.
The membership hasn't had a plan.
Well, that's where we need to come up with the plan. This is a good part of the plan, but it's not the whole plan.
Yeah.
Most of the membership does
not vote. We need to decide what is our plan, and we need to digest. We need to look into the different avenues and the different things that we can do and what we can't do.
Let me do this because we've been on these so many times. We need to say, okay, we are setting a date. We're setting a time. We are to look at this thing and make a decision. But it needs to be done right away because...
Why?
Because of time. Because,
we have time.
Because, no, we don't have time. Because things like the water resources, all those types of things are going away by days. We don't have time. We have things that need to be taken care of that are urgent.
We have urgent things that we need to do. This
so let's say, can we get it looked at and let's say by the 10th of December or the 15th of December have a meeting or make a decision?
Yeah, but we're not there yet, okay? Because right now we're still on ATV tours, okay?
That's part of it.
Okay.
That's part of the whole thing.
Well, that's just one aspect of this, okay?
Right.
But this outside group is not this group. Okay, not necessarily.
I'm just saying
we're not on the budget yet. I need to get. I understand what you're saying. I know you have a passion for it.
Let me talk to the ATV tour group issue because somehow I've got somewhat.
Your name got dropped.
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I know the operators, and I've known them for 30 years, so I definitely know them. They've been going to the. I haven't been on the board or involved at all, and they've been going to the ranch. Then when Gates got locked during this hunting season a month ago, and so I brought it up the last meeting, the first meeting I went on the board, because right before that they called and said, hey, we've been going up, we've been told to park at the gravel pit and ride ATVs through the ranch instead of, trucks and trailer through the ranch. And so I brought up NASC here, and we said, well, we're going to take the locks off, we're going to study it and come up with a comprehensive plan. Then they've called back since and said, hey, we have some tours booked. We are a concessionaire on the Forest Service where they're going. We're just passing through. Can we work something? And I've told them, look, my concern, and I think the most concern is the safety, knowing who's there and hey, keeping accountability of an exclusive property, and third, the liability one. But they have insurance stuff, so anything that they do is not going to reflect on.
Well,
long as we have that
agreement. Not necessarily. They can say, well, your road wasn't maintained properly, and that's why I went off the road. Or, they're not obeying the speed limit.
That's right. When there's a lawyer involved, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
They can make up something.
They have to be some pretty stiff stipulations.
Well, I think...
I physically witnessed... two guys going about 50 miles an hour trying to catch up to the other group.
Well, those are the concerns that I think could be detrimental to the ranch.
Right.
My opinion is the best way to overcome those
is to take somebody like this and say, look,
We need a written agreement.
Right.
If you're going to be the concessionaire of ATV, and one of the benefits is there are people that travel here that would like to enjoy and go do some trail riding. They're not going to trailer their, you know, their ATV from Texas. They flew out here and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
These guys have rentals here in town, and they would bring them up. And so if we had somebody that would do that, you know, whether it's DSROA or, again, encompassed in the proposal that Dale's made to work in there and have some written rules, because we've got to have guidelines that you've got to obey a
25, 30-mile-an-hour
speed limit. We need a copy of your insurance policy and be named as an additional insured. You understand that these primitive roads and you assume
all liability under your
insurance. Very basic.
Yeah, this is, you know, that's the thing is we don't have any coverage. They haven't provided anything like that. That's my point. But that's why we're bringing
it up.
Now
that
we can,
but in my opinion, the trespassing.
Yeah. But from their point, they feel like they've been given permission and they've asked to do this.
Where's their written permission?
Yeah,
There's no permission.
The only permission they could get is from us. So if we have not drafted a document and given to them, they've got no permission. They're trespassing.
How many tour groups use this, or in town that might use this?
This is the only group, and that's what I told them. If we move forward with what, you know, we may put it to,
you know, using a bid or a proposal process to be fair, but
there is nobody else in Kane County.
Okay, can't we go to the head of the tour group and say, you need to make us additionally insured? It's like when we enter into contracts and on the construction site, bringing our people in, we have to additionally insure that property and that company there so that our guys can't sue them.
Right.
You know, because if our guys, if they get hurt on a project, a lawyer will sue anybody that they deem that's got deep enough pockets.
Right. That's right.
And so
we
need to go to them and say, look, you need to additionally insure us so that we're protected.
We need to draft something that
well,
allow that.
They are more.
Time. That's my whole point. This all takes time. Okay. So saying that we don't have time, we cannot do it.
The first thing they need to say is they shouldn't be there without our permission.
Well, and that's
what and they have been told that.
A.
Yeah.
B. If we want to consider that, I would say not only that's what we want to do. I don't know if that's what we want to do or not. But if that's what we want to do, then there should be some compensation on that as well.
True.
And a written document signed by both parties with all liabilities.
And another issue is just, you know, a ranch, not all ranch owners want ATV tour groups
that's
coming
right.
through our ranch and disturbing the peace and quiet.
I think that's,
you know, that's another issue.
I'm conflicted about that. I don't know if that's... It's something we should do or not.
You know, what hours, what days, you know, things like that all needs to be worked out in advance.
Going through there, some historic, it's a historic road that has been causing some heartburn.
It continues to come in conflict. I mean, it's still a private road, and that's why I said it's got to be our bigger decision is how are we going to interact with non-members, how are we going to interact with, you know, Kane County citizens, Carson County citizens going through there to pick on a tour group who has contacted us and talked to us, and, you know, they're less than 1% of the other 99% that aren't asking permission that are going up, and if they find a locked gate, they're cutting it. So I would much rather, even if they're non-members, have somebody in there that at least has permission that is, you know, picking up trash, reporting the vandalism, that is paying something to help maintain the road.
I know there's a lot of people coming up. My wife and I, we usually leave after work on a Friday night. We get up there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I see traffic up there.
Yeah.
And hear shooting.
And I hear shooting as well sometimes when I get up, because I'm all the way at the other end.
Spotlighting in the back of a pickup truck with black hooded sweatshirts on, and they're just going for a ride.
Yeah. You
know, isn't that amazing?
So,
there's a lot of members, really, if it were up to them. They put big gates on all the roads and secure it all, and may be willing to pay for it. So you know, there's.
But that's a whole issue about gates and fences and everything else that take money.
Biggest concern I'm getting from the members is roads and liability.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that are concerned about people coming on to their property areas that are not
Meadow Canyon Road
mixed.
But areas that are all solely Deer Springs Ranch coming in, getting robbed, getting vandalized, all that stuff.
Or just ATV tracks all over their property.
It's all pulled under the whole security blanket of what are we doing?
We allow on our ranch.
What are we doing with that, and what do we want to do going forward? I think that's a big issue.
How private are private roads?
Yeah.
Paul, you have
along with these, along with this, if we're going to go ahead and have them come through, do we need to have some kind of label or some kind of
way to identify them?
Because, I mean, these members, they see.
That's why we came up with Deer Springs Plant.
This group versus that group. Yeah, exactly.
That's part of this whole security thing. Okay, you know, that doesn't have one. They shouldn't be here. Well, that one does.
ATV, so we could have them flagged.
Something, some kind of color, or check in.
We talked about checking in at with ranch management.
We don't have a
the biggest thing.
We don't want them to be.
A trailer that just unloaded a whole bunch of, and I have no idea. So I raise questions, and then I ask people, "Hey, have you seen ATVs?" And then I hear. Your name was dropped. I don't know.
Well, the group that was up there that day, I talked to you on the phone how many times the day before they came about lock gates. We talked about it in this meeting. We said, we're not going to, as soon as the hunt's over, we're going to come up with a plan. Okay, they already had the things booked.
Right.
Then Brent Fulmer sent out the email. He's the one that told them to park there. That's all before my day. I don't know if now that Larry's gone, I'm the Clarkson on the board, and so I'm getting...
They called me and said, hey, we're going up there.
So we understand the gate's locked. How do we get through? So I called you. So they came those 2 days, and then they had one other tour. And so and I told them, as far as I'm concerned, we're trying to decide, is the ranch going to have, you know, 6-foot gates on all corners, or are we going to have some permitting system? We're trying to find a way to regulate even our own members to know who's there and who's not. And it's a big thing we haven't done. And so,
is there some proposal right now?
But there, but there's always been.
No, it's in discussion right now.
There's always been, Paul. There's always been. If you go to the ranch, you need to check in at headquarters. Now that's been a standing thing, but I don't think all members and new members know that because, well, gee, if I go out there, my time's before the ranch. They know I'm saying.
You know, it's important to know who's out on the ranch, especially during the fire season or during other seasons. You know, they're there. If someone comes checking on someone, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so. Well, I don't know if they're out here or not.
It's
got to be a multi-level plan. Because I'll
tell you right now, I mean, that's the thing that after last meeting, we discussed it. Now,
I had heard one thing through my real estate office that
if we were showing property, there was a tag to be hung in and people. I had heard about that.
After this, I went and met with Fred Searles. You know, he's experienced quite a bit of vandalism and trouble. I mean, he's got a nice place, put a lot of money and maintenance into his.
He deals with it
probably as much as anybody on the ranch. And
he showed me
on his truck and ATV
the sticker.
I've been a member of the ranch longer than most anybody here.
Except for
we didn't mail them out.
I've never heard a thing about that either.
Check in thing though. That's where when you check in, we get.
But, well, but saying that, I will defend the 30% of the
rent. I guarantee when I run back toward my lot, I am not going to stop in the ranch headquarters. I never.
Right.
Will.
Right.
We
should stop in and say,
no,
hey, okay.
No, I should not be required.
No, you're not required.
No, but
if you're coming in,
there's different.
Yeah.
If you're a out-of-town member
coming to stay in cabins, you check in the ranch headquarters, get updates, get weather permits, get your keys to cabin, that's different than those
of us that live in the, you know, Nevada,
and
Utah, Arizona.
Well, I think in the newsletter in July, it was.
No.
It was talked about.
I haven't got a newsletter.
That's why she just asked me. I haven't got. I didn't get my.
You didn't get this newsletter?
I didn't get my. She had finally hand delivered the
ballot to vote on the membership.
The annual.
I didn't vote in the annual membership
because of
our database may not be up.
When you hike down a trail into the Forest Service or into BLM land, you have a place at the top to sign in and sign out. The whole purpose is so that they can get you.
Right.
Yes, but
if
that's because that's
a problem.
Land, but if you're going to your own private land,
the same concept at Deer Springs Ranch. If we had a fire or a problem where we needed to get people out, we need to know who's in there and what's going on.
Well, we don't have the manpower for that because I've gone to
we
the
don't want
to
fed, we don't want
to
bureaucratically regulate.
Sign in on the board.
No.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't even.
I mean, if we put in so many stupid rules and detours that I got to take 20 minutes with my kids screaming in the car to go over and drive down the ranch.
Then Deer Springs lost the
enjoyment. The reason I'm going there to get away from this, all of that BS.
If we have a sign-in board off of the main road there,
I don't think you have to check in.
Right.
I think you might want to check in and get a sticker because when you're on the property driving around, somebody's going to stop you.
No, you should have one because you're a member.
Exactly.
So if they would just failed to mail it out, I was.
Right. Now I asked several members, y'all.
And a lot of them. So.
I think before we mail it out, we need to finish this
and make sure that we understand, you know, how to do it.
But regulating fishing and being
at the fish ponds has always been somewhat of an issue. But again, there's always the debate we've
had.
Are we going to spend more dollars and more hours worrying about who's fishing
than put that money in to buying fish and let
whoever wants to fish fish? But
I think all these things, whether it's a trailhead, to sign in at a trailhead is fine.
But the signing of the property,
we've got to have better instructions at the fish pond. Some of them posted, here's the rules. Most people will try to abide rules, but there's nothing.
I agree. I think it wouldn't cost us very much to post a metal base sign, you know, a plastic sign or whatever, and you can put, hey, this is the rule.
Okay, well,
these are for members only.
Members only.
Well,
but I mean, it wouldn't be better.
Part of Dale's proposal is to look at our rules and regulations, our how we do business, and it's a very good, you know, it's something that you know
we
need to do.
Here's
one point at the same time because I talked to Fred, and he had, you know,
was telling me about some of the issues he had, and he had stopped down and you know, caught people fishing at the fish pond who were not members,
shouldn't have been there. And he told them, well, you need to go into the ranch house and pay a dollar a fish.
Again, that's where I'm like, a dollar a fish?
No. Those fish cost us $3 a fish. I can't go to the supermarket
and buy a trout for $3.
People should be there unless they're members, period. End statement.
Let me put a proposal out here. I used to work for the NRCD. And if it's open to public fishing, they will stock the pond for free. If it's not and we want it to be member only and we buy the fish like we have been doing, that's another story. So then it needs to say member only. And so it can't be open to it. But if you want to leave it for public, you can get free fish. So it's really up to you.
I don't know
what to do. How private do you want to be?
Exactly. And there's always this debate of, you know, do we want to close things off or do you want to open it up, even from a commercial standpoint? I think one of the problems is we need to find out what the membership wants. On that case, I don't know that we can make that.
They're not going to feed you back, so it needs to come from the board. So we have to make some decisions.
That's a proposal. Absolutely. Put a proposal forward.
We have proposals, and we have the information to look at. I just wanted to, you know, that.
Actually, we should.
I know.
We need to have some places to swim that are safe for little.
Well, I think the tour is done this season. They are looking forward to
just so that
we know however we work it. They're willing. They're properly bonded,
insured. They're
willing to sign an agreement. We talked about a $5 per person trespass fee, which I think is.
And they don't take that many people.
The one group that they took was
because. They had one group
that week.
They took two different. They, in fact, broke
it up.
Right.
That was the a big factor is represented that
was a convention of the brass that were the top Polaris. All the main
ATV manufacturers
came out for a tour of this area, so they were here for 5 days.
One that they wanted to go
through there. They should stop by.
Well, they'll do whatever they're told to do.
Right
now, they've been told
by Brent. Park.
Well,
I think in the future, if they park at the ranch headquarters and check in, that way I know somebody's on the property. That way, if Fred Sproul comes over and, hey, do you know? Yes, I do know. They are allowed to be here.
Yeah.
And when they have to have, like I said, there's paperwork that needs to follow with it.
There's liability, and I don't know, some kind of monetary.
Yeah, absolutely. There's roads. They're on our roads. How we have to maintain those.
Every
roads.
Quad that runs up there kicks more and more rock off the road, and that's more and more work for us down the road, and more and more money.
And the liability
is
big.
Okay, well, thank you.
No, I can check with them, because I think that they are...
I don't know that they have any others.
And I was the board president at the time.
Until we...
until next year. But, again, we've got to in-depth go through some of that or find a way to regulate it, which, again, all these issues, in the real world, board of directors don't deal with these issues.
Who does?
An executive director or a management like what Dale's talking about or something.
Yeah.
He's got a paid staff or an executive or a contract that does it.
That's
that board
it
oversees
and
looks at big pictures, helps to say, hey, we want to go this direction the next year or two. Then they put the rubber of the road on a daily, weekly basis.
I said, having a master plan that the board develops, having a master plan, in that way, when the board changes, like, I agree with you, the board changes so fast, it changes faster than we have ranch caretakers and managers. We have more board changes. And then, so it's hard to keep the ball running down the line.
We don't have a master plan.
We're a new board, and this is something that we need to decide on, okay? And that, I agree with you. We need a master plan so that we have... And that's why I suggested early on was that just get back to basics, and then we can work on from that way forward. And so part of the plan, part of getting back to basics, is developing a master plan.
However, in the meantime, these guys have asked. I've told them, look, these are private roads. As far as I know, you don't have permission to be there. There's going to be lock gates. There's going to be issues. And they said, well, how do we get permission? What do we do? And I've said, I don't know, because now there's no formulated plan, whether it's going to be closed altogether or we're even willing to work with concessionaires or some type of a basis. Again, there's got to be a balance there. But until we do that, and that's why I brought up last meeting, we said we're going to put it off. So we put it off. So then, as far as I'm concerned, the board said,
whatever has been happening is free to still happen until we decide.
And now it's what we're saying today. We keep putting off these decisions, so nobody be upset when tomorrow somebody got through there, because until we give them clear direction and show some leadership, things are going to progress where they go.
So do we put it to about whether we do this or not?
We need to make these decisions.
Give them permission or not.
I need to go down there and try and get a contract written up?
No, you don't need to do that. If they're an ATV group, they want to make a proposal to our board, we're here.
Well, now
that's what they need to do. They need to bring a proposal to us that we can approve, okay, and that shows that they have liability insurance, they have us as additional insured. There's a list of things that have to be done, but it's incumbent on them to bring it to us. It's not for us to go to them.
And if they don't, it's no until
they're trespassing.
Right.
Yeah, they're trespassing.
Because of liability.
Okay, but
first Donna, then Ted. Okay.
Are we trying to be a managing board? Or are we just the board of directors?
No, we are the managing board. If you look at the rules and regulations on what the board does, it's every one of those things that Dale put up on that one of the last slides. That we manage property, that we're in, that we pay insurance. This is what we do. This is what the board does. And they haven't done it in the past. I'm sorry, but that's what we do. We are the management group.
Right now, there's nobody else to do it.
Right.
Right.
Right. There is
right.
nobody else. To
right.
do it. And it's not happening. So that's our problem.
No, I disagree with you. This is what we're here. We're here to discuss it and manage it, and that's what we've been trying to do. And so to say that we're not doing it, I disagree with that. I take
offense at what I just said.
What you said. Okay? Because do you know who gets the calls? I am the lead person that everyone calls. And I'd be glad to just let it shed some of that responsibility.
Well, let me ask you this, because somehow my name's got mixed up in this, and you never called me. I brought up in the board meeting. I went on the board. We discussed it.
Right.
We said we're going to leave.
I apologize. I didn't call you.
But then after
you
called the ATV guys and told them that
they
are not
permission.
Okay, but they were given permission. I reported back to them out of this meeting and said the board deferred a decision, and so we're still status quo.
No, the status quo is that it's private property.
Right. However,
is that they're trespassing.
I agree with what Dustin's saying. They're private property roads, and they're trying. However, they're still, we have no signage to say they're,
mean. We do have signage to say
I have gone up there, I've photographed every sign, the top end and the bottom end, and there's hardly a sign readable.
As soon as you go off of the main road and you go to the airstrip, right there, private road. And there's another sign further up at
okay, but that doesn't say welcome on a private road or not. I
mean, no, just
that have been used the last private 10 years. Road,
it's private.
You don't have permission.
You don't have permission. You know,
if it's private, it's private. That means you're not supposed to be on it unless you get.
I'm a logical person. If I see a private road sign, I don't have permission to go. I'm going to respect that. Now they're not respecting our private road. I mean, I'm not. I don't want to get a big. You know, this isn't. We can deal with it. We can hammer this out and.
Whoa. If my road says private property, that doesn't mean that I don't want anybody to come up my road.
No, it doesn't.
Isn't me. That is.
This is a company. This is an organized.
Your property when they're invited.
I understand, and that's why I say,
I think this is a good example to use these guys because
it's the current issue.
It's still
less than 1% of our problem. But
right. No, I
last agree. Meeting, I mean, they asked, we discussed here, I would have been happy
to have told them, don't
go up here.
That's not what the board said last week. And so for you as
tell them that they can't come on the road. We did not authorize any other outside group to use our road.
I asked.
And it was
said, we're not going to establish any policy.
We're not going to lock the gate, is what we said. That's what we were talking about. We're not going to lock the gate. But that doesn't mean that's so that membership can have access.
Okay, well, maybe it was
that was the issue, was locking the gate. It wasn't about road use or anything like that. It was locking the gate. Do we lock the gate or we do not lock the gate? Well, we're going to lock the gate for hunting season, and then after that, we're going to open it, and then we'll discuss it further. But that was the issue with the gate. It wasn't with the road use. It wasn't with ATV groups using our roads. That was not the issue.
And for right now, you know, our rumps are out in the wind. I think we should just make a post right now that until further notice, it's not allowed.
Until we get contracts.
We have to have, you know,
cover ourselves for insurance.
Cover ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it's just CYA.
Okay,
I'm sorry, Ted had something you wanted to mention.
I just have a question as an outsider, and according to your rules, it sounds like one of your members invited them in. Is that against the rules or members invited?
He didn't have the authority.
Any member doesn't have the authority. They have the authority to invite a personal guest in.
They're
not a paid business or something that's making money on going through the ranch. So I don't know the history. I didn't get into it. They asked me before and I brought up on the locked gate because I had a personal guest that got up there and they got locked out in the forest and had to drive an hour and a half out around. And so that's why I brought it up. But I told them, hey, we have no thing. You know, we've got to get a policy. I'm not sure where it's going to go because there is both ends of the spectrum. As soon as we have something, then I'll let you know. And so they've just gone ahead the last month. My own interaction since last meeting in October until this meeting, that they were in there. So then they called
the other day,
and I said, oh, they called after and said, hey,
they didn't call me back. They didn't call me back, though.
Oh, didn't you?
I left my name.
I left my number. They never called me back.
Well, I got the message. John Southwick called and said, well, I said, well, he is the president. And I told you, we haven't made a policy. I'm not sure where it's going to go. And technically, they are private roads.
We are struggling with how to maintain them
and regulate them. And so if you have a suggestion, I said, we're going to have a board meeting. Can you come? Again, both their kids are playing the state football championship
for Kanab High School
today. And so he said, I can't be there that Saturday.
Here's a thought. I mean, if that's something they want to do, and if they want to come to the next meeting to propose something, let's communicate to them and say, look, we're up to listen to you. Come up with a proposal. These are our requirements. Come to a board meeting and we can make a board decision. We can make a vote on it that day if that's what we want
to
do.
Well, okay, we need to – here, we're beating it again. Let's get back to the thing. All right, now I want to make a proposal that by next month we have something drawn up that says that we cannot, at this point, nobody can go on the ranch until we have a paid group.
That's the way it's always
signed with
that's default.
That's the rule.
Right now, that's the rule. Then the rules today. But you're not supposed to be on there unless you've got permission, period.
Okay. All right, regardless. So let's I'm going to read.
There's no policy.
Wait a minute. Let me finish my thing.
No problem.
Okay. So let's I want to make
a motion.
Thank you. I want to make a motion that we, by next month, now I don't know who's going to do it, but we draw up something so that people can do this, so they can prepare for next year, that we can cover ourselves legally, that they will be able to make those. We need to propose something to
them.
We have to have something.
It's not incumbent on us to propose what they're going to do. It's incumbent on them to propose to us, and then we look at it and we say yes or no. Basically, it's incumbent on them to propose.
Now, I would suggest, and you're
now
not
we can put stipulations on
there.
We
need a master plan.
We should.
No, you don't.
We should invest.
We have a plan.
More signs with
a
phone number that says if you want permission or something, a contact, so that those types of requests have come in, because I think sometimes what they'll do is they figure out, might as well just, why bother?
Well, what they're doing now is, like, you know, we're going to just, you know, ask for forgiveness.
Bingo.
Instead of getting permission.
That's right.
Okay.
It's easier to do that. But if we make it such that people can communicate to us and they want to do that.
Okay, I'm going to take a break for 5 minutes. Is that okay?
5 minute recess.
5 minute recess. I want to thank Dale for all of his work here. And I know they got a crashed plane.